A very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in Christ. The God's grace, we are all gathered together to study His wonderful words of life. So from last few months, we have been studying the sixth volume, and we have studied chapter 3, and we have covered page number 113. So this week, we will be starting from page number 114. So the subtopic in this third chapter, what we're studying is about justification. We saw how the ancient worthies were justified and how this justification during the gospel age, it doesn't depend upon the perfect works, but it depends upon the perfect will. So we will continue from page number 114. So, Munna sister, can you read the first paragraph, sister? Can you read?
Okay, brother. Justification, as we have already seen, signifies the bringing of the sinner into full accord with his Creator. We nowhere read of the necessity for the sinner to be justified before Christ, but that through the merit of Christ he is to be justified before the Father, and it may help us to understand this entire subject to examine why this is so. It is because the Creator stands as the representative of his own law, and because he placed Father Adam and his race under that law in the beginning, declaring that their enjoyment of his favor and blessing and life everlasting was dependent upon obedience, and that disobedience would forfeit all these favors. That position cannot be set aside. Therefore, before mankind can have fellowship with God and his blessing of life everlasting, they must in some manner get back into full accord with their Creator, and hence back to that perfection which will stand the full light of divine inspection and full test of obedience. Thus, the world, so to speak, lay beyond the reach of the Almighty, who purposely arrange his laws so they would be beyond the reach of justice and make necessary his present plan of redemption and or restitution or justification or bringing back to perfection of the willing and obedient through the Redeemer, who meantime would stand as their mediator or go between.
Thank you, sister. So here we see is that so who is the one who is justifying the mankind? You see, so here it is not Jesus Christ. So it is through the blood of Jesus Christ, but the whole world has to stand justified before whom? If you see, it is before our Almighty God. Why before Almighty God? Why they have to stand before Almighty God? Because it is God's strict scale of justice that demanded eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for a life. When Adam was the one who committed sin, it was God who actually condemned them to death. You see, it was God who had actually cast them out from his presence. So if any man or if anybody has to justify, it is only God. Therefore, each and every man has to stand before the judgment of God. Hence, in Book of Romans, we read that everybody are accounted to God, you see, and God is the one who judges everything, you see. Therefore, these scriptures and all point out to the one Almighty God. And he is the one who has given this law. You see, in Garden of Eden, who told that Adam should not eat the forbidden fruit? It was God. It was God's law. It was God who had told mankind. So, He was the one who was condemned, and if anybody has to be brought back to, you see, fellowship with God, then it is only by God Himself. Therefore, in the 1,000 years, the whole mankind has to stand, you see, before God to be justified. And through whom they have to come, if you see, they have to come through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why can't they come directly? They can come now, as we are now approaching directly our Father. You see, God has got a direct communication with us. Why doesn't God do or deal like this in the 1,000 years? Because in the 1,000 years, each and every mankind, when they are resurrected, they will be still imperfect. So they can't, you see, being imperfect, being in the sinful condition, they can't approach God. They can't stand before God. You see, God doesn't, you see, what do you say, withstand that unholy condition, a sinful thing before Him. So, in that way, God has made a provision that if anybody has to come to Him, it is only through Jesus Christ. The exception is only in the gospel age. You see, God has considered us who are sinners. He considers that we are no more sinners. We are completely sinless only through Christ. And this is faith. This is based on faith. Hence, you see, Jesus Christ is our advocate. But in 1,000 years, you see, what will be Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ will be a mediator. You see, these two roles actually Jesus does. In the gospel age, he's advocate. He's not a mediator. You see, there's a difference between a mediator and a advocate. You see, advocate, what does he do? You have advocates in your Nepal? I think so. There's a court. There are lawyers. You see, those lawyers are called as advocates. And there are judges also. You see, if there is any case filed against anybody, you see, the plaintiff or the client, they can't directly go to the judge and fight for the cause. They have to name a lawyer or advocate who take care of all these documents, who studies the case, you see, and he presents it in a presentable way to the judge. And judge, you see, understanding the case, you see, based on the rules and regulations and the laws already laid down, which the advocate clearly knows, you see, and that based on his arguments, based on the trial, he gives the decision, you see, whether he's a culprit, whether he's a, you see, a person that has to be let free. So this is the work of the advocate, you see, and this is the work which Jesus is doing now for the church. Can somebody read 1 John 2:2? 1 John 2:2, anybody?
Okay, 1 John 2:2. And is the propitiations for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
You see? So here it tells Jesus is a propitiation of not only for our sins but for the sins of the whole world. Continue with the next.
Three. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Okay, now read verse 1.
Okay. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the
You see?
righteous.
So here, Apostle John clearly tells that we should not sin. But as long as we are living in the flesh, in the sinful flesh, you see, because of our weakness, because of our shortcoming, we sin. You see, not purposefully. You see, by mistake. Not that we want to sin, but we could not handle it. We could not control it. We could not overcome it. So in that way, you see, what option we got with the Father? God, Jesus Christ, who is our advocate. He takes the case. He puts on his righteousness upon us. He covers the file completely with his blood. You see, our file will be completely corrupt. The entire thing will be full of our evil conditions. But Jesus studies this one and he's got his own merit. You see, he is the lawyer who has studied the law, who has kept the law. So he's got his own righteousness. So he's going to implement all those things on our file. And he presents these ones to the Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, you see, seeing this case coming to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is, you see, beseeching Father on our behalf, our sins are pardoned. So this is the work of an advocate in the gospel age. Hence, our standing is directly with God. But in the 1,000 years, the world of mankind will have no direct standing with God, but they have to come through the mediator. Now, what is the mediator? What is the work of the mediator? Let us read it in the next paragraph of the volume. So, next paragraph, who will read? Joel, brother?
Okay, brother. The mediator, although perfect, had no law to maintain, had pronounced no sentence against Adam and his race, which would hinder him from recognizing them and being merciful to their imperfection. On the contrary, he bought the world in sin and imperfection, fully realizing its undone condition. He takes mankind as he finds them, and during the millennial age will deal with each individual of the world according to his own particular condition, having mercy upon the weak and requiring more of the stronger, thus adapting himself and the laws of his kingdom to all the various peculiarities, blemish, weakness, etc. As he find them, for the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son, John 5:22. The Son will illustrate to mankind the perfect standard of the divine law, to which they must eventually attain before they can be just and acceptable in the sight of God at the close of the millennial age. But he will not insist upon that standard and hold that any who do not come up to it are violators of it, needing an appreciation of grace to cover every transgression, however unwillful and unintentional. On the contrary, all this atonement for violations of God's perfect and immutable law will be finished before he takes the reign of government at all.
Thank you, brother. So here it tells how Jesus as mediator will deal with the mankind. You see, Jesus was a mediator of better covenant. That's what we read in the book of Hebrews. So when Jesus took this responsibility, he knew completely and very clearly what are the terms and conditions of the mediatorship. He knew, you see, God was a holy, sinless, you see, he was a perfect, you see, and nobody could approach him without any, you see, without being perfect, you see. And he also knew that mankind had fallen into sin, degraded, corrupt, you see, sinners, you see, in the highest grade. So They could not anyway approach to God. So, but always God was willing to receive this mankind. And you see, seeing the pitiful condition, Jesus offered himself to be a ransomer. Not only did one, he also offered himself to be a redeemer. You see, what is the meaning of the redeemer and the ransomer? Ransomer is the one, you see, who has paid the price. You see, Jesus came and died on the cross and paid the price. That is the ransom. He could have just given the ransom and just kept off like that only without doing anything for mankind, without doing any good, without even doing any bad also. He could have simply come on this earth, led a simple life as a normal human being without even preaching the word of God, silently keeping his own work. You see, being a disciplined boy without any sin, you see, without any evil, without any harming anybody. You see, and ultimately after 3.5 years, he could have simply died. You see, and that would have become a ransom. But would that be a redeemer? If you see, no. You see, Jesus could not be a redeemer. You see, he could not be a redeemer of the church. He's the head of the church. Neither could he be a redeemer of the entire mankind. Jesus to be the head of the church, he had to practically undergo the experiences of the church. You know, in the book of Isaiah, I think I quoted this verse last few 3 weeks before. You see, in Isaiah it says, "Shall he bring the head to deliver and not deliver the body?" One scripture comes. So, whenever a child is actually delivered from the mother's womb, the first thing that comes out of the mother's womb is the head. After that, only is the body. So, the both has to come the same way. It's not in a different way. So if Jesus has come in one way, the body members also has to be delivered the same way. If the body members, you see, are expected to be delivered in a very smooth, comfortable, in bed of roses way, Jesus could have also been delivered the same way. But that's what not the scripture says. The scriptures clearly tells through much tribulation we are to enter into the kingdom of God. So sufferings was necessary in the life of Jesus because in that suffering only Jesus was delivered from this side of the veil to that side of the veil. The same condition applies to the church today. So Jesus, by experiencing the same thing, he could help the church members. Hence, Jesus is the redeemer of the church. But what about the world? It is the same condition for the world also. Now Jesus stands as an advocate. You see, judge is very strict, but Jesus, it has no, my client is not like that. He did not want to do it purposely, but out of weaknesses, then Lord have mercy. You see, how does the judge, you see, and the advocate have the conversation? You see, how do the advocate approach the judge? Do they tell judge, please give mercy? No. How do they request? My Lord, my honor, your honor, I pray, please, my client. No, that, see, these are all words that are picked from the Bible. That is the way, that is the reason Jesus told us to pray to the Father. Pray means what? Request. Your honor, honor means what? The highest, the honor. My Lord, you see, that is the way, dear brethren. So, the same way, but for the world of mankind, Jesus takes the role of a mediator. Now, what is a mediator? In simple language, if I need to tell about mediator, do you have any broker in your Nepal? Like, for example, traffic police, or if you go to RTO, if you want to purchase one vehicle, or if you want to apply for driving license, there is a department in, you see, every government. In India, we call it as RTO, Road Transport, you see, Organization, a Road Transport Officer. RTO. That is the way we get all our license. So, do they give the license just like that? Do they give the documents of the vehicle, sanction the documents of the vehicle just like that? No, it's a very hectic, you see, procedure. Lot of rules and regulations has to be followed. You see, they'll put lot of tests. You have to do all those things and perform it before the inspector, the RTO. Officer, you need to do it everything before the officer. There'll be a track where you need to do the test drive, everything and show. Why? That is a proof that if you are doing it in a small scale, definitely you will be able to work it on a larger scale also. You see, so and generally those who were directly approaches the RTO, they can approach you, but they will be rejected. Why? Because there will be some other flaw, some other loophole. So they'll reject you see, license, reject the documents. But if you go through a mediator, broker, what will happen? Broker will take care of all the terms and conditions. What all things has to be fulfilled, whether everything is correctly filled, whether everything is as per the law. And not only that one, that broker has already some agreement with the officer. What agreement? You see, he knows the mind of the officer. He knows the rules and regulations of the officer. He knows what is the expectation of the officer. You see? So similarly, the broker also knows the expectation of the client. You see, the customer. You see? And his difficulty also he understands. So he is the broker who take care of both the parties so that there may be no misunderstanding among both the parties. But both these parties come and settle and agree for one, you see, agreement, one consent. Same way, Jesus will act as a mediator. He knew the terms and conditions. The world of mankind have fallen into sin. They don't know any rules and regulations, so I have to take care of them. First, I need to bring them everybody from the grave. Then I need to guide them. I need to instruct them. I need to correct them. You see how in the driving, you see, RTO, before giving the driving license, they will take driving classes, no? Then give the driving license. Now, who is the one who takes care of all this? It's all the broker worker. Just to train the customer well. Say, sir, this is the accelerator, this is the clutch. You need to drive in such a way. Before taking any turn, you should show your hand signal. Various things, all the rules will be taught to the customer. So you please be abiding to the rules, or else your license will get cancelled. Same way, dear brethren. See, same way, you see, Jesus instructs each and every mankind what to do, what not to do, the terms of the, you see, new covenant, what does God's law demand in the gospel, in the millennial age? You see, any small violation, God doesn't accept it. So you be very cautious. You got a second opportunity, and this is your last opportunity. If you want to continue living, then abide by the terms and conditions of the 1,000 years. So everybody, what will happen? They will definitely agree to the terms and conditions. That's what the Bible says. You see, in John 5:22, it says, Father has committed all judgment to the Son. So in 1,000 years, whatever judgment you see is given, it will be given by our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, even then also he gives grace. Any small mistakes, okay, no problem. Let us try it again. Any corrections? Okay, it will be corrected. One more opportunity will be given. So, this is the thing that is going to happen, you see, in the 1,000 years. So, he is going to govern all these things. You see, let us read on verse Isaiah 9, chapter 6 and 7. Can anybody read Isaiah 6, 9, and 7? Anybody?
Isaiah 6 verse.
Isaiah 9, chapter 6 and 7, brother.
Sixth verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A seventh verse, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David
and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even for ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
You see, what does he say? Unto us, the child is born. You see, a son is given. What is the character, sir? You see, the government shall be upon his shoulder. What is the government? You see, the government of the 1,000 years. You see, the government is the one who governs the activities, you see, of the society, or take care of the society. You see, Nepal, what happened? The government was completely toppled down. People revolted against the government because that management was not satisfied. You see, the society was not satisfied with the way they handled the affairs. So that government was toppled. So Christ, what will happen? His kingdom shall come. You see, Kathmandu means what? Kathmandu is the capital of Nepal. So that means what? The capital of Nepal, Kathmandu, that is the place where all the government affairs, where the government has been handled, the Nepal administration has been handled. Similarly, in the Bible, Revelation, it says, no, Jesus' government. What is that government called us? Let us read Revelation 21. Somebody read Revelation 21. Revelation 21st chapter, verse 10. Revelation 21:10.
Revelation 21 verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God.
You see, he saw heavenly Jerusalem, holy Jerusalem, you see, descending out of heaven. You see, descending out of heaven, coming from God. You see, so it is God's administration through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, so Jesus is the one who is going to take care of all the affairs. You see, it's called as a great city. City means what? City means government, administration. So Jesus is, you see, government is called as New Jerusalem. Jerusalem is what? The capital of Israel. The same way, this is the government that is going to take care of entire affairs in the 1,000 years. Now, what does Isaiah say? Say, the government shall be upon his shoulders, means the responsibility, the risk, everything will be upon him. And what is it called? Jesus called as? He's called as wonderful. You see, he's called as counselor. What is the meaning of counselor? Who gives instructions, who gives guidance, you see, who gives corrections, you see, helps them, you see, to overcome. That is the work of a counselor. So many people will come out with a lot of weaknesses, but Jesus, as a mediator, will counsel them, will advise them, will help them to, you see, stand, you see, in the 1,000 years. Then, you see, the mighty God. Then, everlasting Father, the Father who gives life for the entire mankind, the Prince of Peace. So in his kingdom, there is going to be peace from the ends of the earth to the ends of the earth. There shall be no war. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. The increase of his government is what? That kingdom shall be first established in Israel. That is, it is called as New Jerusalem. It could have called a New India, New America, New Jerusalem. Why? But that is going to be established in Jerusalem, place of peace. You see, Jerusalem is what? You see, city of peace. So that city of peace will be coming from God. You see, ordained of the God, heavenly kingdom. You see, may thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So a peaceable kingdom shall be established on earth. Increase, it will go on increasing, beginning from Israel. Slowly it will cover the whole world. At a time, this kingdom shall be not established. You see, it is a slow process. That's the reason it says, heavenly Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Coming down like rocket. Coming down slowly. You see, slowly. Bible says now in Revelation 21, it is like a bride adorned for the bridegroom. You see, bride means what? Girl. Bridegroom means boy. How does a girl come when during the marriage procession? Does she come running? Slowly she comes. Same way, this new couple who is going to take the administration of the whole world, their kingdom is slowly established. Remember Daniel's second chapter? The stone, untouched stone, out of the mountains. First it came and hit the feet, began to pound. You see, the entire you see, multi-metallic structure was broken into pieces. Then what happened? The stone began to crush, make everything into powder. A great wind came and blew it away. We are living in that time, dear brethren. The stone has already come. Jesus has already returned. The members who are on that part of the veil, you see, they are with Jesus Christ, is beginning to pound the multi-metallic, you see, human governments of this world. Therefore, you see, all over the world, there is commotion, problem, confusion. You see, each and every nation, one sort or other problem is there. See, India one problem came yesterday. Then Pakistan one problem came. You see, then again, one more problem will come. It will keep on coming. So there won't be any peace. So, next, what will happen now? Fine powder, that means what? It will be such a terrible way that reformation can't be expected at all. The only thing that is going to be expected is what? A great wind will come and blow it away. A great time of trouble, when it's going to reach to the peak, the entire government shall go away. Then what will happen? Christ kingdom, the government shall be upon his shoulders. That new Jerusalem shall descend. The stone will stand there. What happened to the stone? Then next, anybody, you can tell me what happened to the stone that hit the image? What happened to the stone after pounding? What did the stone do?
Began to grow and became a mountain, brother.
Very good. It began to grow, cover the entire earth. That is how God's kingdom shall be increased. That's the reason it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Peace shall be established slowly, one by one, one by one, one by one. Why? Mediator, he is the broker who is taking care of both the parties. You see, God is perfect. Don't need to take care about God's side. Only mankind. Mankind has got a lot of weaknesses. So he has to be taught to live in a peaceful way, harmonious way, not to do any harm. You see, next, what does he say? Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, bring order, discipline, and to establish it with judgment and justice. Justice, no violation of God's justice shall be tolerated. Everybody has to agree to the conditions of the mediator. Or you agree to the condition of the judge, you see, the great officer, or else you agree to the condition of the broker. Whatever you want. So mankind has got no option. Only two options are there. They have to do. You see, they can't stand before the officer. Better stand through this broker itself. He will take care of everything. Just pay him some, you see. Pay obedience. That's what Jesus demands. Then what does he say? You see, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, who is the zeal of the Lord of hosts? Jesus has got a God. He is the Lord of hosts. It is his zeal, God's interest upon mankind, that he will make all these things to happen. So God, through Jesus, is going to establish all these things on this world. So, dear brethren, so this is the work of the mediator in the 1,000 years. Okay. Next paragraph. Next paragraph. Amar brother or Romy sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. Christ has already given the price of price in his own sacrifice. He is He already has graciously imputed that merit to the household of faith. And by the close of this gospel age, he will make definite application of the entire sin offering or on behalf of all the people, the whole world of mankind. God has shown through the Day of Atonement type that it will be accepted and that it will be as the result of the of that acceptance that Christ and his church will then take over the government of the whole world under the might be termed marital law or despotic rule, which set aside the ordinary laws and standard because of the exigencies of the case and ministers law in manner suited not to those who are in a perfect or right condition, as are the laws of Jehovah's empire, but suited to the condition of the rebellion and anarchy which has been produced in the world as a result of sin. This emergency dominion in which the king will rule not only as king but also as judge and priest supreme is designed, as we have just seen, to justify the world, actually not reckonly by work as the standard of final test backed by faith. This actual justification will be effected not at the beginning of the millennial reign, but as the result of the reign at its close.
Thank you, sister. So, this work of Christ, what is going to do with the mankind, justification, it is also shown in the Day of Atonement. I hope you remember the basic class where your brother had taken about the Atonement Day sacrifice. First, a bullock was sacrificed. You see, his blood was taken inside the most holy place. Next, you see, two goats were selected. And you see, the priest has to put a lot, you see, and upon whichever lot the lot falls on whichever goat, that is considered as the Lord's goat. The other one is called as the scapegoat. So the Lord's goat has to undergo the same process as the bullock underwent. So what is the process? Same, slaughter it, the blood be taken to the most holy, the fat items be sacrificed on the brazen altar. You see? So, this was the process, and the hide and the nails and all were burnt out of the camp. So, this represents, the bullock represents the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. First, he had to go. He had to be sacrificed. Next comes womb. Next comes the church. The church has to be imputed. The church sacrifice has to be completed. Then only, what will happen? You see, the scapegoat in the meantime, that will be cast off. Then, the high priest, after all these things are done, he will come out of the most holy, change his clothes, put on the glorious robe, then come out of the tabernacle and bless all mankind. So, entire Israel were waiting for that high priest to come and bless them for the entire future, 1 year. That was a very critical moment. So now Jesus Christ already went inside the second veil, on the side of the veil. The church is yet to go. Few people are already gone. Some people are already waiting. We are all waiting for that one only. So once the church is complete, the high priest and the body will be completed. So Jesus will, you see, establish his earth. So establish his kingdom on this earth. He will change his role. He will change his clothing. He will change his role. You see, so Jesus will be the mediator then. He will put on the glorious robe that represents the church and the body. So he will come out. So he will bless all mankind. So all mankind will be blessed when Jesus, you see, assumes his role of the mediator in the millennial role. So when can we expect the whole world to be blessed and 100% justified? It is not at the beginning of the 1,000 years. It is at the end of the millennial age. Hence, the Bible says, last enemy to be destroyed is what? Anybody can tell me? Which is the last enemy?
Death, brother.
Death. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, 26th verse. What is the death? That is not second death. That is Adamic death. The death that comes to every mankind because of Adam's weakness. Adam's sinful nature. You see, we all sin. No? Why do we sin? We don't want to sin. After sinning, we regret. Ayyo, why I did this one? Should not have done this one. Why? Because it is not we actually want to do. It's our sinful nature. So, what will happen? The last enemy, the entire Adamic sinful qualities in each and every mankind will be completely taken out of each and every human being. So, what will happen? That is the time that, you see, the peaceable kingdom will be established. This is going to happen at the end of the 1,000 years. Okay. Next paragraph. Next paragraph. Amar brother, can you read, brother?
Okay, brother. Justification by faith of the present time is with a view to permitting a few whom God designed to call to his special service to participate in the Abrahamic covenant as the seed of promise, as a joint sacrifices, and hence joint heirs with Jesus. Even with this, God can make not direct contract, but so the speak even after they are justified through faith and by the merit of their redeemers, they are treated as incompetent and are informed that they are accepted only in the beloved in Christ, and all of their covenant contract to sacrifice unless endorsed by him would be of no validity.
Okay, can you continue one more paragraph, brother? Is it okay?
Okay. How evident it is that the sole object of this gospel is to call out a little flock from mankind to constitute members of the new creations, and that the arrangement to justify believers unto life by faith is with a view to giving them standing with God, whereby they may enter into the covenant obligations required of candidates for the new creations. As already noted, the conditions upon which they will be accepted to the new creations is that of self-sacrifice. And since God is unwilling to receive as a sacrifice anything that is blemish, we as member of the blemish and condemned race could not be acceptable until first we were actually justified from all sins. That thus, as the apostle expressed it, we might present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, our reasonable service. Romans 12:1.
Okay, thank you, brother. So here again, you see, it's a summary of this entire, you see, chapter of justification. The church is justified now. Why? Because they may have standing before God, and they are justified only upon one condition. Now, what is the condition? That they may go ahead and offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. We are sinners. God considers as, and you see, and He covers all our sin with the merit of Jesus Christ and makes us pure. It is only a standing by faith. And why does it God gives His standing by faith? Because immediately we may offer this body, which God considers as very pure and holy, to Him as a sacrifice. Because nowadays nobody is willing to do anything for the Lord. You see, but in that condition, if anybody is willing to sacrifice their preferences, their ideas, you see, their own will to do the Lord's will, God is always ready to accept such sacrifice. You see, and it is only upon these terms of the gospel age that God justifies any Christian. Okay, so okay, next last paragraph. Okay, Brother Gopal, can you read?
Okay, brother, that's the tentatively justified.
Mm.
In view of this, what shall we say of those who come to the standpoint of faith in God and a measure of justification, and who, seeing that further progress in the Lord's way means self-sacrifice, self-denial, etc., nevertheless hold back, declining to enter the straight gate and narrow way and so full a consecration, even unto death? Shall we say that God is angry with them? No, we must suppose that up to a certain point, progressing in the ways of righteousness, they were pleasing to God, and that they receive a blessing. The apostle seems to declare, saying, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace implies some discernment of the divine plan in respect to the future blotting out of sins of the believer. Acts 3 verse 19, it implies also a good degree of harmony with the principles of righteousness, for faith in Christ is always reformatory. We rejoice with all who come thus far. We are glad that they have this advantage over the masses of mankind, whom the God of this world hath thoroughly blinded, and who therefore cannot at the present time see and appreciate the grace of God in Christ. We urge such to abide in God's favor by going on to full obedience.
Thank you, brother. So here, the submitting God is tentatively justified. Now, what is this tentatively justified? This is temporarily justified, if you can use the other word. Temporary means what? What is the meaning of temporary? Tell me, what do you understand by word temporary?
Not permanent.
Ah, very good, not permanent. Okay, only for a certain time. So here, God justifies, you see, many of the Christians for a certain time. Till what time? Till the time they completely understand the truth. You see, hence, if somebody is listening to the truth, you know, they are justified temporarily. Why temporarily? So that after they completely understand God's plan, they may offer their bodies as a living sacrifice to God. But as they come to more and more clarity upon the truth, they will clearly understand that the condition of the gospel age is living a life of sacrifice. The conditions of the gospel age is that deny yourself, carry the cross, follow Jesus Christ. The condition of the gospel is offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, suffer with Christ. They will clearly understand. Then they will think, oh, this strict condition I can't accept. I am okay with the truth. I listen to truth. Everything is okay. But offering my body sacrifice, I can't do it. So many people will draw back. Remember the story of Gideon? You see, about 120,000 army. Huh? How many people came? First, initially, how many people came? 33,000. You see, last 10,000 remained. God told even that one is also too much. Bring them to the water. So only 300 were selected. So this is the same way. Many people who fear, you fear for the life, you should offer my sacrifice. First of all, like I am not able to live in this world. Very difficulty. How can I offer myself? How can I sacrifice? I myself don't have. What is there with me to sacrifice? So they don't come to the altar to sacrifice. So how does God deal with them? Is God angry with them? No. God is not angry. The only thing is that it's a pity condition that they're not able to see it very clearly. You see, they understand the truth completely, then go ahead, you see, and you see, die for the Lord. They are very hesitant. So God tells, okay, no problem. You see, you can come in 1,000 years. But you see, they would be in a better condition compared to the world because the world doesn't know anything. At least they know something. So it will be very difficult. It will be quite easy for them to come in 1,000 years. But you see, what can we do? How should we deal with them? We should urge them. We should motivate them, not compel them, not force them. You see, motivate them that they may offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, that the condition of the gospel age is so and so. So no need to fear, I see. No need to, you see, think lot of things that the negative things and all, whether you will be able to make a calling election sure, whether you will be able to complete the race. No. You see, build them courage. Encourage them to be strong in the Lord. You see, make them very strong. You see, that increase their faith. Why? So that they may come to the mode of consecration. This is the work that we need to do. Apart from that one, if they don't consecrate, always the door will be open for them. The unconsecrated, I'm telling you. You see, those who don't consecrate, door will be always open to them to come in 1,000 years and walk in the highway of holiness. But only thing, they will lose the heavenly reward. They come to the earthly salvation. Okay? So, what all privileges they lose? What all advantages they lose? What all the blessings of the Lord they lose? We will continue next week. Okay? So, anybody has got any doubts, any questions? Anybody, any questions in today's class? No doubts. Okay. So, we'll finish with a word of prayer. So, in the end, okay, Ashish brother, can you pray? You're there? Can you pray? Okay. Amar brother, can you pray?
Okay, brother.
Oh, okay, there. Sorry. Okay, wait, Amar brother. Ashish, please pray.
Okay. Our Heavenly Almighty Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we gather again and continue our volume studies, particularly about justification. We thank for this opportunity. And we also remember at this particular point of time, all our brethren all over the world who are going through trials and difficulties. And we especially pray for all of us to be enable us to understand the deep oracles of God and especially the writing of Pastor Charles Taze Russell. Until we meet next time, bind us in one accord of love and bind us in one spirit. In our volition, return Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, everybody.